I'm at the Planetary and Space Sciences Research Institute. And who are you, sir?
I'm John Zarnecki, Professor of Space Sciences.
You are, in fact, a rocket scientist, I've just learnt.
I am indeed, yes. Guilty.
You're the first rocket scientist I think I've interviewed this week.
Now, well, there are a lot of us around here.
Yes, I think I'm in the right room. I'm not going to walk over to this side of the room because you said that's where the secrets are.
That's the secret, that's right.
Here, we're just surrounded by machines, which you can hear right now. Bench testing, the machine you can hear right now is emulating space. Well, it will do if it has the lid on secured firmly. And on the left, all kinds of weird and wonderful things. You've been doing this quite a while now, haven't you?
You could say that, yeah. I've been designing and building space instruments for about 30 years.
So you've seen some of your, if I want to use a loose term here, babies, go out and explore the solar system.
Absolutely. I've had instruments working at Mars, at Halley's Comet, around Saturn and on Saturn's moons. So, yeah, they've been around.
And they've all worked?
All but one.
Is it the famous one?
Yes.
The device that shall not be mentioned but is named after a dog. Thank you. So, give me an example of the kind of timescale these projects go on for.
Well, the longest one I worked on was the mission to Saturn and Titan. That was probably, I started that in around 89 and we landed in 2005.
So you
worked
with
that out,
it.
That's about 16 years, and then we had to analyse the data. So, you know, it's approaching 20 years for a mission like that.
You were involved from the sketches on the back of an envelope to seeing it on the news.
Absolutely. And I've actually left that project, but it's still going on. There's people still working on it. It's just been extended. Approval for it has been extended to 2017. So there will be a few people, my goodness, who will have spent, you know, the bulk of their working life on that one project.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I mean, we've now got a new space agency starting, haven't we?
That's right. In the UK, yes, it's a sort of a revamped space agency. I think government has finally, I would say, you know, 10 or 20 years too late, realised the importance of space in all aspects of life, you know, economic, communications, national security and science.
How important is it that we do more in space, that we explore more space, that we get into space more often?
Well, I mean, I'm biased, aren't I?
You are.
I think it's vitally important, you know.
Other than to keep you in work.
I mean, as a country, we don't, you know, any longer make our living by mining coal or building ships or, you know, large-scale manufacturing. So it's more the high-tech, high-value industry and activities that are our future, and space has got to be a big part of that.
Are there technologies that have been discovered here at the Open University through the kind of work that you've been doing that are used in the average everyday world?
Well, kind of. I mean, let me give a couple of examples. Several examples. One of our main interests here is trying to determine if there ever was, or even is today, life on Mars. Mm. And one of the ways you do that is to take an instrument called a mass spectrometer. Now, these are things which are large instruments. You find them in many laboratories. We've had to take something which might fill, you know, several cubic meters and squash it down into a shoebox size.
Wow.
to work in space, to fit on a spacecraft.
And that miniaturization directly transferable to other technologies.
Well, absolutely. And we're finding now all sorts of potential applications. I mean, one, for example, in health. We've got a version of this instrument which is just about to go off to sub-Saharan Africa to see if it can work in the field to detect tuberculosis.
Wow.
And if that proves to be successful, I mean, that'll be quite revolutionary.
That is on a massive, life-changing scale.
That's right. You see, normally
rewards in space, rewards on Earth.
Absolutely. Other applications of those techniques are drug detection in the context of athletics and Olympic Games. We're doing some work with the London Olympics Authority. In situ monitoring of water quality.
Right.
You know, so
yep.
In a reservoir, yep. In a pipeline, you can put one of these packages to monitor in real time the quality of the water. instead of, you know, taking a sample in a test tube and bringing it back to the lab.
This is why we need to invest more. This is why we need to be giving absolutely. More money to labs like yours, because you don't have nearly enough equipment in here. He says, not being able to move for technology.
You give us more gadgets.
Oh, now that is something I should have on a T-shirt. Now, why haven't you been to space? I assume you haven't been to space yet.
Well, one of my claims to fame is that I'm a 3 times failed astronaut. I've actually applied 3 times over about 30 years. And for some strange reason, they haven't taken me. And one time I got quite close. I got as far as medical and psychological testing, but they booted me out at that point.
That really needs to be your profile, should you decide to join up on Twitter, which I really think you do. You've got a lot of fascinating things to share. But make sure that your initial biography is nearly an astronaut 3 times.
I'll follow your advice. I'm nearly sold on it.
Thank you so much. And I look forward to checking out what's going on in, well, a more UK-based exploration of space, let's see.
Follow this space, yeah.
Thank you.